You're listening to Talking Boat Stuff, the Waterways Podcast, where we celebrate everything in, on, and around the water. This episode was recorded live at the 2024 Toronto International Boat Show and is powered by America's Boating Channel. Now, here's your favorite captain of conversation, Stephen Bull.
That's spectacular.
That's true. All right. Talking Boat Stuff, the Waterways Podcast. Fifth episode recorded here at the Toronto International Boat Show with the man himself, the legend, Spike on the Water.
It's pronounced Spike on the Water.
You want to go by Spike, or do we do the full name?
Well, you know, my given name, my government name is Shane Anthony Deloge. My father's name was Spike, and I was Wee Spike when my dad passed away. I became Spike, and it was his dream to work on the water every day. I just figured out how to make it happen.
Oh, that, you know, see, that is the best answer to what name do you want to be called. It's a great story.
Yeah, every time you use my name as Spike, honor my old man. I appreciate it.
All right, well then, Spike it is. Well, let's start there. So that's how I first heard about you. We've got the same colors, the purple behind you, like the beautiful paint job on the van, everything. Spike on the Water, we beautify boats. Tell me about that and how you started doing that.
Well, the start of working on the water was really about my old man. And we were traveling down to Florida. He used to transport vehicles for folks that were retiring down in Florida Keys from Toronto. And we'd do these mega drives, road trips down south all the time. And we ended up traveling out into the Keys one time. And we looked at this large yacht. I think it was about 110-footer. And the dream for my mom and him was to open a spa in Jamaica. And we were going to use this boat to transport people to and from the Keys and have this massive life on the water. And it just didn't work out for my old man. He was in a horrible car wreck back in the 90s. And, you know, like I said, it was him that inspired this idea, brought me into the horizon, showed me the water and what life could be like. And it took me about another 8 years to figure it out. A common friend of ours, Jill Dagg, Snyder, she got married, right? But when we were in school, that was Jill Dagg. She handed me the brochure for the Marine Technology and Recreation Program at the boat show in 1996. And I asked her, are you going to be there? She said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll show up. And that's how my Marine Technology and Recreation education began. But it was jobs at Pier 4, downtown Toronto.
Right.
I was dock master over there. I was shuttle driver for the Ontario Place Marina. I did both of those jobs at the same time for my co-ops. I was also driving for Toronto Island Marina for a little bit. And then I got recruited shortly after my graduation for Towboat Canada. So I operated two and a half seasons as a towboat operator, rescuing boats, doing salvages, and all that jazz. But my position in the industry upon completing the Marine Technology Recreation Program was marina operator and administrator for the City of Mississauga Marinas. So my office was at Credit Village, pretty place.
Yeah.
And also Lakefront Promenade, working with Kelly Flood. You know Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, great guy, great mentor. He was a year graduated before me. And I landed in this position at Credit Village and lasted about a year in the corporate unionized sort of culture. Like, born and raised an entrepreneur by my mother, who operates the Exhibitor Sports Center here at the boat show for the last 30 years. And I've been here for that much time, carrying her boxes and photocopiers and fax machines and learning the culture of business and trade shows, many, many different industries. And yeah, boat show was always a huge turn on because made some great friends, and you know, they're commonly showing up in our office, and you know, like, we make friends throughout many, many different industries. But what I found myself really interested in was Jill, pretty redhead, said go to college, and I figured out a way to make that happen. Ontario Stereo Assistance Program.
Right.
Paid my tuition and got myself a great boombox, settled into Orillia, Ontario for 3.5 years. And yeah, just round and round, found my way back to Toronto where nobody was talking about boats. None of my friends, none of my family were really boating people at all. It was just this industry seemed bright and shiny, and I wanted to follow it through and ended up learning a lot about myself and Orillion Ontario and this industry. Brought me back to Toronto, and I started working at the different marinas and, like I said, towboat captain and shuttle driver. And at all those iterations, somebody was asking me to clean their boat for them. So I was making side cash all the time. Right. And it was upon leaving the city of Mississauga, I had to figure out, how am I going to use this education in another way? And it took me about 3 years away from boating to rediscover what I actually wanted to be on the water every day. And that was of service to the community, work hard every day, be on the water every day, and empty the tank every day. And that's how I grew my Spike on the Water brand to, servicing Bowmanville to St. Catharines, north to Midland, any boat, any size, anywhere in Ontario, happy to show up. And, I changed the name to We Beautify Boats in, when was that? I think it was 2014. People often said, what is Spike on the Water? Like, boaters knew, but everyone else thought it was just like a soft drink company.
Yeah.
And I rebranded We Beautify Boats.
Right.
I went from blue to purple, up the spectrum and frequency is, if you look into colors, that's why I chose purple, high vibe, high frequency, high values, is how I try and organize my crew and develop my crew through our apprenticeship structure. And, just another day on the water, that's all that really matters to me, is how can I get back there? How can I be useful on the water every day so I can keep showing up? And I think that's the short answer.
Well, that's an entirely fascinating story. I mean, there's obviously the tragedy of losing your father would not like to happen, but the fact that you turned it into something and started with his vision, and maybe that just planted a seed, but Jill pushed you over the edge with going to college. You gave it a shot, liked it, the industry enough as it is, tried a lot of different things, different careers, and then ended up turning your side hustle into the business, and now you got that going. So in terms of that, and you've seen it all when you're working on other people's boats, what are some of the things... Maybe let's start with what are the things that you constantly see from the working on boats that you wish you didn't see or you're always going to?
Okay, so it really begins with our service offering. I had to pick a channel, a category of service that I could duplicate my efforts and actually introduce new people to the boating industry. So We Beautify Boats does interior, exterior cleaning, wax and polish and compound, wood refinishing, light gel coat repair, steam cleaning from the top of the canvas right down to the engine mounts. Basically, any boat bought, sold, burnt, sunk, rotten, or refused in the province of Ontario has been my business to make beautiful for the last 25 years. So that rotten, riddled, and refused section, I think, is what you're talking about. And it's raccoon attacks.
Yeah.
I'm the raccoon man. Boats sink. People forget their plugs. Insurance call comes in and it's Spike is the first responder and I got to show up and make it right and rub them on the back and make sure, they have a great expectation of getting their beautiful boat back. And we've been extremely successful that way. A lot of obviously oxidization, right? Cutting, polishing, compounding. We always look at the skin of a boat like your own skin, where it's porous. So when it dries out, sort of like your face or your hands, you have to wash them often and moisturize. So the exfoliation would be compounding, the toning would be polishing, and the protection would be like moisturizer. So when you look at your boat's skin, look at yourself in the mirror and say, would I treat my face like that? Or,
I like that.
Can I do a little bit better for my boat? Give her a bath a little bit more often.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just overlook it because they think, oh, it's sitting in water and it, rains and all. Maybe I'll clean it if it's dirty and there's guests coming over, but it's probably fine. It's not like I have salt on it like my car, but that is not the case.
Well, if you don't wash your face for a month and look at yourself in the mirror, that's exactly how your boat feels. And it's unfortunate to see like boats that I've serviced, I've brought up to full, healthy, luxurious, deep reflection, healthy, like beautiful skin, and see them 4 or 5 years later not getting the same type of love, it's like an emotional attack. Like, I feel it in my guts. It hurts my feelings real bad to see a boat fall off from the care schedule. It's like one of our highest values at We Beautify Boats is love. Like, we have to love these boats as if they were our own. We know that they're not, but we spend a lot more time on million-dollar yachts than most of these people that own them do. And treating them well is just, you know, how we show our love for not just our job and the environment, but the people that we serve as well. You know, it's a love vibration, man.
Yeah. I like it. How big is your crew now?
My crew is down to 4 right now. Maxed out in 2018 with about 12 crew. And the dark years, the at-home years, we dispatched our entire team, and I had to redirect my energies to continue to be a service to this industry at a high capacity. But it was, an unfortunate time for the world. And, you know, we were blessed to be noted as an essential service, so we could still show up and service the boats with the poke. Without, you could not access marinas and yacht clubs. So, you know, I made it happen on my own. I maintained the schedule on my own. I decided that, you know, my values didn't allow me to stop working. And I found a way. And with the help of Boating Ontario and, you know, getting certain trades identified as essential, because these boats left alone get into a bunch of trouble all by themselves. And, you know, facts is, you know, my schedule of, you know, 50 boats weekly was reduced to about 15. And, you know, I tried many, many different things to try and make it easier for people to utilize my service. But without a team, I can't be there for everybody. So it's been a transition, and, you know, every transition is a little bit of chaos. But we're scaling up again this year. I've got a couple crew managers, and we're going to start our hiring cycle in March. So anybody that's interested in working on the water, being in the horizon, every sunrise and every sunset, that's what we're after.
And you train everyone up. They don't have to be experienced at doing any of this, right?
I prefer if they know nothing.
Yeah? Is that just so, like, you don't have to train out bad habits and I'll teach you the proper way?
That's accurate, you know? Like, I don't want to... people to get too far ahead of themselves and understand these processes that I've developed and designed over 25 years all have an intention and a point for being, right? It's top to bottom, front to back. Gravity rules everything that we do, right? Top to bottom, front to back. And, you know, that's the way we get everything done. We break down boats in 4 ways. It's deck service, hull service, bottom service, and interior service. Each of those areas has a pre-service condition, and it's my job to prescribe the level of service to be applied to bring it up to the greatest health and easy maintenance, be it for us or the boat owner on their own. But when people come to work for me, they learn a trade, they learn a craft, they learn an art form, literally. It's light work, making light work, you know, with the reflections, with the clarity, with the cleanliness, no streaks. Right? No streaks. Like, double check. Use a fresher microfiber. Do it again. You know?
What's the secret for a beautiful boat? Is there a magic product? Is there something that everyone should do? Or has it just come down to elbow grease and attention? Even though the products have, I'm sure, changed over 25 years.
Sure. Yeah, I've got a bomb closet. I've had many iterations of the bomb closet, which is, you know, many, many manufacturers seeking to enter the boating industry, they'll bring me product samples to try out. And a few of them have been great. Most of them have been crap. I decided on one specific one called Tug Scrub, where it was called Frog Wash before, and it was being distributed direct sales community, and I actually tried it out. There's only 4 ingredients, all on the domestic substance list. Does no harm to my people or the environment. It's a concentrate. We can use it in a strong, we call them get-her-done dilutions. So the strongest mix will let you clean up the bilge. Grease, cutter, beautiful. And in the lightest version, we can clean the windows, right? Basic soap and water. and it's just been the most versatile product that I've ever utilized over many different iterations. I've really reduced the need for shopping, right? By like actually blending my own soap. It's tough, you know, to ship liquids, you know, from America, where there's a lot of great products and a lot of marketing comes across the border eventually. But I've got a local blender here in Scarborough, Ontario. It's Canadian-made soap for boats. But I tell you, when I had it on the Shopify store, you know, I'd sell just enough to pay my Shopify, like, subscription fee. But where I really found a lot of customers was in the parrot community. Bird owners love tug scrub.
Really?
Really. It's, well, think about it. I'm cleaning up bird crap all day on boats.
Yeah, but okay.
When it was frog wash, the original manufacturer used to market it to pet stores all the time, right? Oh. You could clean a frog with it. Great. But, yeah, when I took it onto boats, it was all about moving bird poop and spider poop and party poop, right? Yeah. There's all kinds of that on boats. But, yeah, tug scrubs are one go-to. Of course, we have compounds and polishes that we utilize. Our main cutting compound we use is Ferecla, and it's been extremely reliable over the years. They've reformulated a few times, but I find their base heavy compound, extra coarse compound, is really, really reliable for heavily oxidized surfaces. Their select cut compound is a fast cut, and everyone I've shared this product with has found great results, where it cuts like a compound but finishes like a polish. And then we started using Ditec polishes for finishing, getting really, really bright, deep reflections. It's been, you know, beautiful to build these prescriptions for boats with these two brands. And, you know, they don't sponsor me or give me any free product, but those are the two things that I ship in. Freckless from the UK and Ditec is from Germany. And okay. I just found nothing on the shelves at the Can Tire works, right, for what I need to do. It's very temporary fixes. We're doing surgery on boats and bringing them back beautiful, giving them a new life.
Right.
And, you know, for the protection system, I developed Spikes Protectin' Things. That's a formulation I discovered in Stockholm, actually. They were pasting it on windmill blades, right, to keep the birds slipping
right.
off them.
Yeah.
And you're not the alive ones, but right? You got to keep those things clean to make sure that they work really well.
Yeah.
But I thought these things are, you know, fiberglass and painted. Can I put this stuff on boats? And, you know, the scientist I was speaking to says, absolutely. And we have a distributor in Canada. Go talk to him. And I came up with Spikes PT, but it's actually protecting things. So we're correcting things and protecting things on the water every day. We work so you can play. Yeah, just keeping it beautiful, keeping it, you know, real for people that just want to show up and enjoy their boats.
And once it's brought back from, you know, when you do these repairs and the surgeries on the skin of the boats, how often do you need to maintain it? Is it a weekly, a monthly? What is the best practice to keep your boat shiny and beautiful? Because you don't need to do these deep cleans and deep dives all the time, but a bunch of little effort will prevent the big effort, right?
100%. Being proactive about your maintenance means scheduling it on a bi-weekly basis, minimum for the exterior, monthly for the interiors. You should go top to bottom, front to back. When you do that, you can observe any potential issues creeping up. If you forget to clean your boat for 3 months, it's going to be a heck of a task to bring it back up to healthy and welcome company on the boat. That's my standard is bi-weekly minimum. Many of my clients are weekly, and our season's between May and October, but the seasons of detailing, I had actually described in my Instagram a while ago, but in the fall time, like just past us, you should wrap it up clean. Make sure it's clean and dry. Absolutely no food, right? Like, don't leave food on your boats. Yeah. It's just inviting critters, so don't do that. But through the off-season, we do interior steam detailing. In the springtime, it's hull polishing, bottom painting. As we get into June, July, summertime, we look at the deck polishing and the wood refinishing. But throughout the May to October, which is our boating season up here on the Great Lakes, it's, minimum biweekly washes is highly recommended.
All right. And you're using that tug scrub for those biweekly washes, or is that just for the more intense cleaning?
Tug scrub, like I said, is a concentrate. So
right.
It is our boat soap. It is our, you know, spot detailer. It's a couple dollops in the bucket and, it's rinse it, soap it, rinse it, dry it, right? Every 2 weeks, we show up and do that with tug scrub.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, I could keep asking. I could go down the path of my very specific boat and wanting to clean it and all that. But
just book Spike now. WeBeautifyBoats.com, book Spike now. You fill out the booking form, tell me where to find your boat. I'll come up and give you a quote.
And you're not just a GTA, right? There's a triangle kind of Bowmanville?
Yeah, basically. I'm happy to say I'll go anywhere in Ontario. I don't mind being on the road. I'm an audiobooks fanatic, so commuting is no stress. I'm always learning something. But it's Bowmanville to St. Catharines and north to Midland for our weekly contracts. But for one-off projects to reset a boat, I'm happy to travel anywhere, and logistically we make miracles happen.
Yeah, good to know. You can also listen to this new podcast. There you go. That'll help with your drive. I'll get more episodes going. Speaking of podcasts, you have Spike Off the Water. That's podcast
true.
Is still rocking. Tell me about that. What motivated you to start that, and what's that all about?
So Spike Off the Water is really meant to create conversations with boat owners and expose our industry to more eyes and ears. I really wanted to know from boat owners how they got their start, what their greatest adventure was on the water, what their darkest days were on the water. Like, what was your greatest adventure or most massive disaster? Because every boater has one of those stories, and they're great stories that you can find on Spike Off the Water. But another key question that we close with is, what is your vision for the next generation of boaters? And how do we introduce young people to the industry? And there's 59 episodes. You can find it on my website, WeBeautifyBoats.com or BoatersOS.ca. You can find a link to the podcast if you're a boater, if you're somebody that works on the water, in care of water, just live in the vicinity of water. I want to have a conversation with you at Spike Off the Water. And, yeah, it's just boaters and people on the water talking about our lives on the water, because it's unique, it's special.
Yep.
It's not part of everybody's experience, and being here in Ontario, we've got so many lakes that it's hard to believe that not everybody has a boat or a boating story. And I want to see more of those stories available for people online to know what a wonderful life it is to be on the water every day.
I love that concept, because in my travels around North America, primarily for doing boating shoots and things like that, it's same but different, is how I describe it to people. So you would think that up in Yellowknife, it would be a wildly different season than here in Toronto, for example. It's not really that different. They say, they still have ice in the bay in May and June, so they can't leave Yellowknife Bay and go out in Great Slave Lake. But they go in the water around, the May long weekend, and it goes until around Thanksgiving-ish. So the season's pretty similar. And even down in Florida, a lot of people, locals down there anyway, don't boat in the winter, because it's just, quote, too cold for them.
Yeah.
So they have a similar season to us here, but I'm like, but I come down to boat. They're like, yeah, but you Canadians are crazy, and you'll go out when it's 65 Fahrenheit.
And what is 65 Fahrenheit?
It's like 18 Celsius.
Plus 18?
Yeah.
And that's cold.
Yeah, to them. So on the Colorado River as well, in Arizona, someone said the river shuts down around American Thanksgiving, so November.
Sure.
And when they said shut down, I assumed they meant, there's dams and all of that. That I said, is it just, not navigable? Is it too low, or is it too high, or rushing? He said, no, it's just too cold. We don't go. Like, November in Arizona is too cold to get on the water? He goes, well, like, the tourists will come out and go, but most of us don't. I'm like, all right, well.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I get started, as long as I got, plus two, I'm compounded. I'm polishing. I'm getting after it. I'm bottom painting. I'm, doing acid cleanings on bottoms at 10 below, as long as my product does what it needs to do, I'll show up and get her done.
Do you find it therapeutic to you to actually do? I know there's a lot of work and obviously effort and you're focused on the end goal of making the customer happy and beautifying their boat, and as you said, loving it sometimes more than the owners may. But I know some people, when they're doing something, cleaning, cooking, whatever, mm-hmm. to them it's like they kind of get into this zone, and even though it's work, it's more towards therapeutic than a chore. Is that the kind of thing for you, that you enjoy it or it's rejuvenating?
Well, 1,000% correct. You achieve a flow state in this action that we do, light work, doing light work. Top to bottom, front to back. You find a flow. Music is recommended, right? Just to keep the rhythm, because there's lots of repetitive motions.
Yeah.
But as you're making something beautiful for somebody else, there is a great sense of achievement once you've completed a task. It feels great. And like I said, I've been at it for 25-odd years, and it's just a different way of living, like being of service to somebody else and operating in a flow state. I call it meditation in motion. A lot of the people that come work for me, they get super fit as well. You know, like we're up and down ladders or hanging on to high-speed buffers. We're scrubbing literally hands and knees, getting after it, and it feels good. Like, it always feels good. Like, you know, your first couple weeks working with me, your arms will just feel like they're floating all the time.
Yeah.
But when you get those muscles, these new muscles that everyone discovers after making boats beautiful for a couple months, they'll stay with you, you know, and they let you accomplish more in life. You're more active, you're more agile, you're stronger. And, you know, I really love that what I do to earn a living is actually healthy for my mind, body, and my soul.
Yeah, that's the dream right there.
Yeah,
you said music, so what's your, is it the more zen, more higher beats per minute? What's the key music, or does it depend on your mood, or do you have a go-to? What's my go-to cleaning tracks, Blake?
So my go-tos are like drum and bass, like playlists. I just like the steady drum. I'm a deep house lover. I'm a dancer as well, so deep house keeps me flowing on interiors, drum and bass when I'm polishing. Deck washes is sometimes a little rock and roll. I love classic rock, so yeah, it's just the water flying all over, suds, and, you know, doing some acrobatics. It's usually rock and roll when I'm doing deck washes, but, you know, country comes in once in a while. You know, I'm a country boy. I've always been, you know, a little too country for the city, a little too city for the country, and I just found my way to the sticks in the city, which is the marinas and yacht clubs.
Yeah,
you know, that's my happy place.
Same. Okay, so this one, I will admit, I know very little about Boaters OS, and it has been the hardest thing for me since you graciously agreed to be a guest on my podcast not to research it more, because I purposely wanted to have you explain it instead of me digging into it. So after I've apologized for not knowing what it is, Spike, please tell me what it is.
What is Boaters OS?
Yeah.
Boaters OS is the Boaters Operating System. I developed this idea many, many years ago with something called the Marine Service Now Network. What I found as a Marine contractor servicing all regions, there was a lot of requests for things that I don't do. Like I said, I chose a category that I could excel at and master and teach to other people. What I realized over time is there's over 120 niche trades in service of boats. There's very, very unique people with unique craft work that is basically inaccessible to most boat owners. You can't find these people easily, and it's always been the same. So Marine Service Now Network, I tried that in 2007, and I was working with a buddy, Travis Perriton, who was a boat broker at the time, to try and organize enough marine services to refit a couple boats. And in those days, the internet was not what it is today, and finding people to help you with your boat is still not easy today. So I decided to shape my own community, my own environment, for the service of boats. But I'm doing it in a little bit different way than most of the boating apps that you see out there, looking at it from a more analytical perspective. I really want to find marine after-sales service data becoming more and more accessible for boat owners to make better decisions about, you know, not just cleaning their boats, but calibrating different equipment on their boats or upgrading different bits of their boats, and having machine learning available to us in 2024. I've found a way to create an algorithm that makes those connections across large categories of boats. So what Boaters OS is quickly becoming is a place to produce a digital twin of your own boat. Understand okay. what's beyond the walls and floors of your own boat, and have a place where that information is very clear for you and the preceding owners of your boat. Because, you know, if you've been around as long as I have, you know that most people upgrade their boats every 3 to 5 years. Most boats are a 3 to 5 owner boat before their end of life. And, you know, the aftermarket parts that end up, and the duct tape that shows up, and
you fix something that you know you wouldn't think of telling someone when you bought it, or you, like, not maliciously most of the time, you just forgot because something's happened and you've put a T-valve on this thing because it helped you clean it, but you wouldn't know that if you bought it. Oh, I like this.
Yeah, so, you know, we built in a couple unique features, being, you know, building the digital twin of your boat. Basically, any system for any boat you can choose, and a pre-populated list of equipment that would be in that system, and then you give it a make, model, year, and any notes about it. So actually tracing your system gives you the opportunity to learn about those systems. And then we have our task manager, which allows you to create tasks based on the parts that you have installed on your boat. And maybe you want to check on it weekly or monthly or annually or every 3 years, and really become proactive about the maintenance of your own boat, creating sustainability for that actual vessel. There's a couple other unique features, like institutions and certifications. We're collecting as many training opportunities, being seminars, workshops, events happening on the water, and putting them inside the app so boaters can find something to do on the water and go somewhere and have some fun and get out there, be a boater.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
so that's another idea. And then, you know, we integrated an OpenAI API, which is basically ChatGPT, but we've engineered the prompt to be a marine tech with 25 years experience and a great customer service attitude to lead you through workflows to anything that's happening on your boat.
Oh,
so
I like that.
That's existing on the website for free. Anyone can try the world's first marine tech AI and chat about your boat and, you know, have some great conversations. There's a really important part I'm missing right now, and I'm trying to think of what it was. Mode Zero. So, you can manage your boat up to two boats for free, and then the subscription kicks in. Automatic safety. That's the most important bit. Automatic safety inventory. So if you're a boater and you get on a boat, there's things that you have to have on your boat to be just prepared for any emergency. And depending on the size of boat or the power of your boat, there's specific inventory that you must have. So in Boaters OS, when you install your first boat, it gives you an automatic inventory to check off or create a new task to go shop and get it, right? Make sure it's on your boat before you're in a situation that requires your fire extinguisher, your bail and bucket, your radar reflector, your VHF radio, your bilge arrangement. Like, all of these things need to be operating to keep you safe on the water. But as most people know, searching on the internet for that list has not always been easy.
No, and there seems to be so many variables, and especially if you're, you know, somewhere that's close to a border. If you're on, like, the Quebec or the Ottawa River, and you're like, well, I got to make sure Ontario and Quebec are the same, and I don't know if they are, but I know, like, some state to state there are differences. So, you know, to your point, you can't just Google what do I need and get a simple answer.
Yeah. So I found, from doing a ton of research of all the different states and other countries as well, that the Canadian Coast Guard standard is the best. And it's the most thorough, and it's far exceeding the requirements of most other places on the planet. So we use that standard for all boats. And depending on the size of boat, if you have these things, you should be good to go anywhere.
Yeah, and you need, that's, it sounds so stupid to say almost, but you need to get your safety gear started before you need it. It's like what I tell, you know, I got a sister who's 9 years younger than me. I remember when she first moved out on her own, I'm like, hey, you're going to need to make sure you have Band-Aids, a ladder, and a plunger. Because any one of those three things, you're not going to want to go to the store and buy when you need it. So those are the three you need to have, and even if you don't need them. But don't wait till you need it. And safety gear, yeah, for sure, that you want to have more than you need. And keep track of, like, things like flares that expire, you need to make sure those are up to date. Because having expired
and
flares
put that on your task list is something to check on seasonally. And, you know, testing and, you know, learning to use a flare is something else that we're working on. There used to be, back in the day, a day hosted by the Marine unit where they teach different clubs to fire off their flares.
Yep.
And now they don't want the responsibility or liability or of, like, teaching people to use firearms. But, hey, this is a required safety element for operating on the water. And if you're out there at night and you break down, you're going to want to know how to use your flare gun and use it properly. So
absolutely.
In the springtime, we're going to go after the Marine unit and have a conversation about bringing this event back to regular marinas and yacht clubs everywhere, that everybody knows how.
Well, I want to work with you on that, because I did a piece for Waterways TV with the Ontario Provincial Police Marine Unit Coordinator, Sergeant Dave Moffitt, great guy. And it was, we went through the different types, and he said, you know, we've got the examples, we can, you know, talk about how to do them. And I asked, is there a way that we can go somewhere, and maybe not all of them, but just show what one actually looks like? And the short answer was no, that he didn't want to, but the regulations and the challenges. And I said, wait, you can't even fire one off? Yeah. He said, no, we got to do this and that. And I said, but how I can't find stock footage on the internet to put in the show to show what one of these parachute flares looks like, or how to actually do it. And I want to see it before I'm in a crisis situation on my boat and hoping that I can read these instructions on the bag that they work.
Well, I've found, you know, doing my level 3 interior detailing, that's all the cupboards and lockers of boats.
Yeah.
I've found many, many expired flares, which is extremely dangerous to have on a boat, and disposing of them properly is also not easy to do. You can't just throw these things in the trash either, right? You gotta wait for an event or bring them to the cop shop and say, hey, you know, like, how do we deal with these things? And I want more boaters to participate in this conversation, because, you know, it just, being a towboat captain back in the day and having to go out in the middle of the night and drag somebody back, that wasn't okay. I don't want to get too graphic on it, but, you know, they literally didn't know how to use their flares to signal for help. I was lucky to catch them on the VHF and found them, you know. And, it's just unfortunate that I think everybody that's been, you know, on the water for 15, 20 years knows a story of somebody that didn't come back. And it's usually because they didn't know how to operate their boat properly, or, you know, alcohol may have been involved. You know, a trauma of some sort, like, you know, you break a wave improperly and smoke your head off the dash, and, you know, nobody else knows how to drive the boat. Like, geez, we've got to figure all these things out.
Yeah.
But it starts with bringing our conversation out of the silos and into a collaborative space, and that's Boaters Operating System. The forum is open right now, trying to open many of these conversations to boaters and enthusiasts of the boating space and being on the water. And, you know, as technically inclined as I am, and, you know, focused on building these digital twins of boats, to, you know, eventually have a VR opportunity for monitoring and maintaining the systems of your boats. That's like version 7. We're at version 1.0 right now, but, you know, more important than that is bringing the community together to each one teach one and have a place to ask a question, you know, and get a response. And that's what the Marine Tech AI is for, just sort of bridging the gap as we start to welcome more service providers and, many of the gatekeepers that are here at the Toronto International Boat Show, I've been speaking to them, inviting them to check out Boaters OS and lend your voice to the community to make sure that nobody feels alone on the water. I produced a YouTube video about 5 or 6 years ago called 1,000 Hands. And actually, I think it was the top of the dark years where I didn't want people to feel alone, like I'm some weird kind of empath, like just working boats for other people for all this time, and I really care and see dangerous stuff about to happen and want to solve it before it becomes a problem. 1,000 hands means, you know, anything you look at, any like microphone or this carpet or that chair or that TV or these boats, the whole life of these things requires 1,000 hands to put it into action, into the marketplace, into manufacturing, into, you know, expiry as well. It takes 1,000 hands to do anything for anybody, anywhere, and we need more hands on the hearts and minds of recreational boating. And that sustainability, sustaining that culture, creating that environment, that big, big, big crazy idea used to be pretty standard on the water, where we looked out for each other. We were up and down the docks, you know, helping each other out. And, you know, as we've retreated into our individuality and our silos of, you know, thought and consideration and the me sort of idea that we have now with everybody online and, you know, fully engorged with media and being on their phones. And I want to start to break down some of those walls and those barriers between boaters specifically, because we're supposed to be helping each other. We're supposed to be a community. There should be nobody at risk with, you know, a proper sail plan, right? Like, let your buddy know where you're going, what you're doing, what your destination is. Like, yeah. Let somebody know. And don't just take off on the water and act like it's going to be all good all the time, because weather changes.
Yep.
Right? There's.
I tell my 8-year-old all the time, nobody plans to have an accident.
Word up. Yeah.
So.
Have a plan or plan to fail, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I'm trying to bridge a lot of gaps with Boaters OS, but in its simplest form, it enables boat owners to have a digital twin of their own boat and be proactive about their monitoring, maintenance, and education around the boating lifestyle. And I really want to see this sustainable for many generations after I'm done.
That's great. The collaborative aspect instead of the lecture format of days old, which doesn't move the needle and doesn't
word
help.
Up. Yeah.
And so boatersos.ca, that's how we
absolutely
check it all out?
Yeah, boaters, plural, BOATERSOS.ca. Boaters OS, the boaters operating system.
I love it. Well, I'm going to steal your question to end this one. What do you see? This morning I was at the National Marine Manufacturers Association, the NMMA. It's a big industry thing for those who don't know. NMMA Canada does an industry breakfast to talk about the state of boating in Canada. And there's, you know, a Wells Fargo economist talking about interest rates. We talked about used and new boat sales. Also the Discover Boating Program and, you know, keeping boaters engaged, getting new people going. All that stuff has been talked about forever. Mm-hmm. And everyone has their own views of it. Mm-hmm. What are your views? What do you see the future of boating, the next generation or sort of this hybrid current generation? Where's boating going in Spike's view?
Okay, so I'm not going to be nice about it. I've been in this industry for just over 25 years, and I've seen many of my friends, marine techs on the water into their 70s, 80s, 90s, showing up to do things that nobody else can do. As much as I honor them, it's also horrifying to me that their skills, knowledge, and experience left this life with them. And I was reading a book just last week. I wrapped it up, called Choose Your Enemies Wisely by Patrick Bet-David. And I've been asking around the show, like, who are your enemies? You know, who keeps you driven to do what you do? And for me, it's marine techs that don't apprentice anybody. You're not training and creating a career strategy for your trade, your craft, your business. and making it sustainable for more than just your own income and your own sustainability. Apprenticeship matters. And this another initiative of Boaters OS is the Interdisciplinary Apprenticeship Passport, where we begin to look at tasks that are completed and monetize the skills that are required for those tasks to create aptitudes of all of our users. And those aptitudes should meet opportunity inside of our space, and you know, hopefully that translates to other industries and other, you know, realities for people in other places. But I like to develop this value within our environment where, you know, we really monetize the skills that, you know, many people are unaware how many of their skills are applicable in other spaces. But, you know, I've learned a lot of things through my lifetime in, you know, sales and service, and I was a drapist for many years, you know, a shuttle driver, a towboat captain. I end up being a yacht detailer with a marine technology and recreation, you know, education. So I see things just a little bit different, and understanding everyone has a superpower. It's just, how do we extract it? And I want to use the Boaters OS IAP passport to discover more opportunities for more people to do more work for other people, right?
Right.
So create that space of collaboration, collaborative intelligence, by monetizing not just dollars, right? It's not just a paycheck, it's not just a salary. You've learned something, you've experienced something, and recording those events not only create a beautiful history for your boat and install value on your boat, but you as the person completing these tasks is becoming better, is becoming more by completing these things, and monetizing that will, you know, translate into more people available for boats to get help, get served, be more beautiful, be loved.
I like it. Well, there are issues, there are concerns, but there are people like you that are trying and hopefully succeeding in bridging those gaps and bringing everyone together. And thank you for seeing things differently, because that's what we need. You can't just keep doing things the way we've been doing things, because we don't live in the world that we did 25 years ago, and we won't live in this world 25 years from now.
That's exactly right. There's a very, very great book saying, the Ray Kurzweil, the singularity is near. And it's going to be re-released this June, The Singularity is Nearer. And it's just the exponential path of technology and, you know, utilizing that, leveraging the resources that we have in this world to serve boats better is what I'm up to. And I see things just a little bit different than most folks I chat to, because I read a lot of books, a lot of audiobooks, a lot of kilometers trekking all over Ontario in search of the next boat to beautify. You know, I try to take note and take account for the things that I'm learning and find an application for them. And a lot of that has culminated in the Boaters operating system and how we need to, you know, structure our participation in a sustainable way moving forward. And that's really about apprenticeship and giving the technological path to the next generation, because they don't know another way. They will never be separate from computers. The ones coming up now, we have to find a way to bridge them into our industry, into our lifestyle, into, you know, I was speaking to the Catalina Association of Ontario the other day. They invited me to do a talk, and, you know, basically same sort of conversation we're having, but there has been a clear downward trend of people getting into sailing and experiencing that harnessing of Mother Nature. And I don't know why, but, you know, it's just the way we're moving now as humans on this planet. We're not into, you know, super awesome activities or something. We just want to stay home and play games. Like, no, get out on the water, man. Like there's got to be a way to get more people out there. So you can hear some of these conversations that spike off the water where, you know, a sailor's path is usually from a junior sailing program, being a part of a yacht club, and they become a sailor. And then the power boaters come from cottagers, right? Yeah. Cottagers and fishers, they end up being bigger and bigger power boaters as they grow older. And, you know, I just, all of these things have been a part of my life and been a part of my experience. And I want to make sure I leave nothing to be questioned in my legacy, that I was here to be a service and empty the tank on the water every day.
Well, keep it up, my friend. Your passion is infectious. Your reputation is well-earned, and I always enjoy speaking with you. And even though I never met him, now I know the story. I feel as though I can say that you're doing your dad proud, and you've earned that name, Spike. So thanks for joining me. Keep it up, and good luck with everything. I will be taking part in Boaters OS. Everyone listening should check it out. Boaters OS. So BoaterSOS.ca, BoaterSOS. .ca. Woo! That felt like some sort of like touch your nose sobriety test, but I nailed it. Anyway, thanks for joining me, buddy.
We'll see you on the water, brother.